Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePrio from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you get into the message. God bless you. Say with me these words. Say, the devil is in trouble.
Devil is in trouble.
I'm telling you, with people sitting here, if you can receive the presence of God like you do, the devil is in trouble, in big trouble. Put on the screen for me, Exodus chapter number 33, let's go from verse 11. And we have many people live. We have close to 100, and that is just right now on from China, Sudan, and all over South Africa, and Germany, and USA, and many places, and they always ask we pray for them. And we have global groups going around, meaning there are houses that are meeting, that is registered, that is like a church, but it's of live streaming, that meets every week, every Sunday, and that they will experience this presence of this tangible anointing, which is palpable, to go into their houses, and that there's no limitation. If they can experience it there, imagine what is possible in this place. Okay? Imagine what is possible in this place. And I know that tonight there is going to be a dimension. Say with me the sensitivity of the Holy Ghost. Now, I spoke last time, Martin was on last week Sunday, but the Sunday before that I touched on sensitivity. But I thought tonight to go into the dimensions of that. Say, Allos Parakletos, the one who walks alongside you. The one, listen here, in the Old Testament, God would come and put His Spirit upon certain individuals. Namely, as a rule, prophets, priests, and kings. Are you guys with me? And then He would, as we crossed over, before we even get into the New Testament, it was His Son that was on the earth, Jesus Christ. But then He said these words. He says, unless I go to be with My Father, I cannot send you the Holy Ghost. Meaning, if I do not leave here, the Holy Ghost cannot come. Meaning, if I leave here, I'm no longer with you, but the Holy Ghost will be with you. Which means we have entered into a dispensation of the Holy Spirit. But many want to pray to God, which is all good, but it is, how many of you know, we pray by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, to the Father. But it is a dispensation where we are in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? He is a person. He is the one that walks alongside you like a partner. But He is looking for a people that is sensitive, which can sense His frequency or His vibration. The reason why some worship bands can enter into the glory is because they have tasted a frequency before, and they can go into there again. The reason why other churches or some bands or worship bands can't, because they've never experienced it. Are you guys with me? I preached on God's sound code a while back, and I said to you how everything responds to a sound, and everything has a sound in it. Even when Joshua said, "Son, stand still," it meant, "Son, be silent," meaning stop making the noise that you are making. Be quiet. That is what He told the son, which means your circumstances has a voice. Are you guys with me? The Bible says that if you won't praise Me, God is saying, if you won't praise Me, I will make even the rocks to call out and praise My name. Meaning even the rocks has a voice. The trees has a voice. But you have a vocabulary and a language of heaven that is in your mouth. Because in Acts chapter number 2, it says a sound entered in the day of Pentecost. Are you guys with me? And on the day of Pentecost, a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. entered into that place. Are you guys with me? Seventh year sound. It is, listen to me. Make, and this is this whole month, proskeneo allos parakletos. Some people won't know even what I am talking about. That is only if you're not at ECC. And proskeneo, it is an ability to proskeneo. It's worship, but it's to be prostrate in front of God. It is the ability to empty yourself. It comes from where the lady with the alabaster box emptied herself onto, emptied the alabaster box. But it speaks of emptying her soul, everything in her. When Jesus came to the earth, born as Jesus, the Son of God, the Bible says he emptied himself of all divinity. Which means every miracle he did was in his humanity. Are you guys with me? I had some people fighting with my doctrine, especially those that were very close to me, and I could not understand this one. They would say to me that, there were some miracles that God did, that Jesus did in his divinity and some in his humanity. No, the scripture says he emptied himself. Otherwise, it would be illegal for him to have done what he has done. Are you guys with me? And he had to empty himself to show and to overcome all temptations. Tempted in all ways, but given to none. Sinless. Not showing that we can be sinless. Never. Are you guys with me? But, and then he said these words. He says, but you will do greater works than I. And God in his divinity, emptying himself of his divinity, looking at the water and say, looking for a boat, the Bible says, the Sea of Galilee, which was a lake, and he's looking for a boat and he couldn't find one. And he said, that's it. And he walked on the water and the molecular density of the water shifted. He did this in his humanity. Are you guys with me? He died on the cross in his humanity. He raised himself from the dead in his divinity, yes. But it's because he already overcame. Are you guys with him? He multiplied the bread in his humanity. I know some of you are battling or something. Do we have spies here again? Right? Because they come in and then they do nonsense. So, you'll be amazed. Krugersdorp. Those people would send people into like Amritsar. And then they, I pray it'll be like when I think it was Saul who sent messengers. Was it Saul that sent messengers to, was it to David? I might be wrong. Martin knows the Bible better than me. And when they came, to Samuel. And when they came there, the power of God hit them and they began to prophesy. And then they sent more and then they began to prophesy. And then Saul went himself and he began to prophesy. But the problem is there, Saul began to prophesy and the Bible says he took off all his clothing and he became like an animal. Because when you try to move in the prophetic and there is not character or there's not a grace or a measure, but you get importation, that is when people go into funny things. Are you guys with me? So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Say with me, did not depart. God is looking for a people that will not depart when it comes where the glory is. That it is a Sunday morning, they are there. Sunday night, they are there. Prayer meetings, they are there. E-groups, they are there. Are you guys with me? Because it is the fact that Joshua did not depart from the tabernacle shows me that he received the importation continually. He was under the glory the whole time. Moses would go in and out. Joshua would be a stone's throw away from him. And Joshua would see how he would pray. Joshua would see how God would speak to him face to face. Joshua would see that the technique that Moses would use. Are you guys with me? If you know God's sound code, and we spoke about Samuel, and those of you know, how many of you, just by the raising of your hands, I just want to see if you listen or don't. How many of you remember the series on God's sound code? Okay. Samuel answering God. God didn't listen to him. He goes to Eli. Eli said, no, you're answering the wrong way. You must answer this way. And say word, 1, 2, 3 words, and then God answers. God's sound code. He is looking for a technique. There's a certain sound in our voice that God responds to. But then there's a sound that he doesn't respond to. I want to take you deeper into the 5 dimensions of the sensitivity of the Holy Ghost. But I need you to be open so that the glory can come in. Are you guys with me? And then we're going to minister to you. A young man, where are we now? Let's carry on. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace by my sight. Carry on. Now therefore I pray, carry on with me until I say, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. Say with me, find grace. Grace must be sought after. There's a measure of grace, and then there's grace that comes with salvation. Look, there are different dimensions of grace. One of the graces that Moses is speaking here is of the measure, a weight. A grace that allowed God to speak to him face to face. God said to Miriam and Aaron, he said, listen here, to all my prophets, I speak in a dream or in a vision. In symbolic form, in an enigma. But not so with my servant Moses. To him, I speak face to face, as a friend speaks to a friend. So he says, to all the other prophets, I speak one way, and to Moses, I speak to another. So you have Moses, and then you have the prophets. Or you have prophets, and then you have Moses. Moses chose to become a friend of God. Are you guys with me? He says, I make myself known to all the other prophets in a dream, in a vision. Now therefore I pray for grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Next verse. And he said, my presence, this is what God is saying, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Say with you, rest. The greatest way to carry the presence of God is to know how to enter into a realm of rest in your spirit. That's why you will find me. I used to in the beginning run and jump and scream and preach, and we can still do that now and then. But I try to, I don't know, for me they say, I don't care, people can leave. It's like, it's like I'll just talk and be in a place of rest so that so that God can move. When Samuel lied down to sleep, to rest, then the Lord spoke to him when he was a young boy. Next verse. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. It's amazing. God is saying, Moses, my presence will go with you. Moses is saying, look, if your presence doesn't go with us, meaning God, if you're lying now, do not even send me. Okay, next verse. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight? He said, listen here, if your presence doesn't go with us, how will the people know that we have found favor in your sight? If you don't carry God's presence, how will people, it is a sign that God is not with you. Are you guys with me? Either God is in a church or he's not. Either his presence is tangible or is there or is not. Either this, as we are standing here, is a satanic anointing, or it is His presence. Because the most leaders say it's a satanic anointing. Are you guys with me? Except you go with us. So we shall be separate. Listen to this. Moses is saying, there's something that your presence does. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. He says, look, when your presence comes upon us, it will distinguish us from the rest. When you carry His presence, you'll be distinguished from the rest. Are you guys with me? Doesn't matter if you are doing business, if you're running your own business, or whatever field you're on, the fact that you carry His presence makes you distinguishable from the rest. There are Christians that cannot carry His presence. They are what I call sicker sensitive. Okay? Are you guys with me? You carry His presence. You are separate. He will even separate you from the rest. That the only way the presence of God can come upon you is when we make a decision to say, I want to be holy. What is holy? Holy means to be consecrated unto Him, to be set apart for God's use only. Say with me, separated. Say holiness. I must still preach on the five dimensions of a prophet, of the office of a prophet. One of them is holiness. The other one is revelation. But the one is holiness. So there is certain five requirements that an office of a prophet must carry. The fact that I say holiness doesn't mean no sin. Oh, never, never. I think you'll be around a prophet and you'll be amazed at how they sin. Okay? But holy means to be set apart. If God tells me not to watch TV, I can never preach it from the pulpit, because then it's putting law on you. But if He speaks to me about it, it is a holiness that I might do to consecrate myself unto Him. Are you guys with me? Even going to Kruger Store, the next 2 weeks, the Lord said to me, we're going into a fast. Now, I've done 40-day fast, 21-day fast, many 21-day fasts. I've done water. I have done long fast with no water, no food. I asked the Lord saying to me for 2 weeks, He's going to just separate me and He's going to separate us. The amount of death threats, it's a joke. You cannot even report it. I think my lawyer said to me, why don't you tell me the story? I said, what must I do? The only thing that can protect you is the presence of God, tangible. The glory of God, being tangible. I have been in a church where huge church, thousands of people, and Chris was with me, and I would stand like this. I was supposed to preach, I'm not sure, I think so. I would stand here, and then a man would stand behind me with a gun, and then there would be seven of them with guns in the church to come and kill me there. Are you guys with me? But I remember that day when I was standing there, and that's just one of many. And I was standing there, and it was like the presence of God was like a bubble around me. You know, myself and my friend Gebert, when we this week we did the prophetic thing, and it was very exclusive. And I always speak highly of him, and I say, look, I saw these good things that you were doing, and you know, I saw the presence of God on you there. And then, you know, I might say one or two bad things, and him the same towards me. And he was saying one thing. He said, when you were prophesying over people, I was confused, because when you went in forensic, he says, I saw, it was like there was, he said, the first thing, it was like a fire around your hands. How many times did we have people saying it here? Photos. And it would be like a surrounding around you, like a ball around you. It is the presence of God, which means when you're sitting in this atmosphere, who you submit to is very important. I'm going to one day, I think we're writing a few books, and it's on an online store. Like, the one is Dominion. That'll be ready. I'm finishing it by Wednesday, I think it is. How to Dominate in Life. And it's new. Then we're going to, then we're already busy, and that's a pre-order. Sagacity, and I might have preached one fifth of what is in the book. And how to be a Christian that can be spiritually intelligent. And it's going to go into the subject of opening up your spiritual eyes. That is what many do not know how to do. They cannot do it. They don't know how. The subject of opening the eyes of your spirit. Paul says, I pray to my God that the eyes of your heart, your understanding, might be enlightened, that you may see. That you will have eye salve, the book of Revelation says, to anoint your eye with eye salve so that you may see. There is another set of eyes he has for you. It's called blepo eyes in the book of Revelation. It is a second set of eyes that when you are in the presence of a prophet, you will be given a second set of eyes. You will see deeper. You will see further. You will see more. Are you guys with me? Sight, you will have the ability to have insight, foresight, oversight, and hindsight. To have the ability to see like this around you when it comes to the prophetic. Being in a prophetic church allows, or is what the scripture is speaking here, that his presence is upon my people and they will be separate. I will distinguish them. Make them different. That when people look on them, they won't know what it is. Why are they standing out like that? Many of you have come with me when I preached at other churches, and it is like our people would like stand out like sore thumbs. They just suddenly realize the royalty they are. It would look in terms of light. Revelation brings light. It brings, the prophetic brings light. Opens your eyes, it tears a veil. It says, Moses is saying, listen here, this presence we need. Because it separates us from every single person on the face of the earth. Say with me, it makes me different. Say, it makes me distinguished. Next verse. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Next verse. And he said, please, and Moses said, first Moses said, listen here, I want your presence, so the presence. Then he said, please show me your glory. Which means there's a difference between the presence and the glory. The presence is here. The glory is a higher frequency. It is a higher weight. Are you guys with me? The presence is, yes, it is upon you and it is perceived on the inside, but it is around you. It can be seen upon you. The glory enlarges the vicinity around you. It's what we call the epikaizo power of God, the shadow of his power. And that vicinity can increase. That even when Peter walked, as his shadow fell upon those that were getting healed, it was not his shadow. It speaks of epikaizo, the shadow of God. That Psalm 91 says, in the secret place of the Most High God, those who shall abide in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wing. Are you guys with me? And he said, please show me your glory. Say with me, glory. Now, let's say, I want to get to five dimensions. The reason I'm mentioning this is because Moses was sensitive. He knew what it would be like to go with his presence or without his presence. The problem is we're sitting with believers who doesn't know when they're losing the presence or not. When Jesus walked and the lady with the issue of blood touched him, power went out of him and he turned around. He said, who touched me? Because I felt virtue, power coming out of me. He could feel when power drained from him. As believers, we get filled, but then we go do some nonsense and we don't know. when the power is, we are not sensitive to know, but now the presence is leaving me. The Bible says that the presence of the Lord departed from Samson and he knew it not. Are you guys with me? He knew it not. Say with me, listen. Let's go to, say with you, five dimensions. Let's get into this. I don't want to belong. We want to pray for you and prophesy just over some, but I feel that God wants to just come in with a dimension. This is the first time I'm sharing this, and I just want to talk because we are. Pray for us with Krugersdorp. How many is in that area? Raise your hands. That is those that are here. And I think we have a lot. I think we have 120 people on that side. And I'm telling you now, it's going to be dangerous. So we need your prayers. All my death threats I got was from there. So they flush in that 24/7. I know. Come on. Okay. Go with me to Daniel chapter number 10, verse 10. Daniel chapter number 10, verse 10. Five dimensions. The first dimension I want to show you, you know, is say with me touch. Say with me naga. N-A-G-A. That's the Hebrew word for touch. Listen to this. This is what I call the touching dimension. The touch of God. First dimension of the Holy Ghost. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees, on the palms of my hands. Are you guys with me? Somebody said to me, when, you know, there was a photo where me and many of our guys were on our knees here, and a big minister said to me, you know, Leon, these photos, you know, where people are slain or we're on the floor, and you're going to offend too many people. And now that individual has turned false. Just like this. I thank God for His grace upon my life. I really do. Look, false doctrine comes so quickly. And when you choose to not submit yourself to someone, I have chosen my whole life from salvation to submit. Submission is simply one thing. Power under control. I need somebody that can, I can be sub my mission under. Are you guys with me? I need somebody that I can say, can I do this? And they say yes or no. And if they say no, I listen. It must be a willful thing. I do not need to submit to them. The church will stay the same. Are you guys with me? I choose to do so. So that we can go further. But that there's protection for my soul. And for those who submit. I always say the money that touches you. You must understand many churches say they tithe. I have yet to find one. Well, I found one, but I have yet to, I'm joking, okay. But I have yet to find a church that the church actually tithes up. That when your money touches here, we tithe up. I tithe out of every account of mine, even personally. And not, you understand what I'm saying? Not when we feel, you know, some people say, no, let's tithe into, No. Tithe is holy. It belongs to the Lord. I believe a tithe goes up. As soon as, when that stays there, it makes way for a mantle to be accessed and oil to keep coming down. The reason you have found the glory of God in this church and the oil has never ceased from that. There was not one service since we started that the anointing has not been present. Not one. Do you know how unusual that is? Oh my God, not one. That from day one, the oil would fall. The importation, almost 300 volunteers, over 40 leaders, the importation. What it does is when I tithe, it keeps that channel open. The fact that I choose to submit myself under someone keeps that open. Are you guys with me? And many people are confused when it comes to the issue of submission. I am not confused at all. You know, we were talking in the week, I think, or we were on a live thing with our partners, and we said, you can trace my oil, the two people that I submitted to, and how God has shifted it and changed it, and I, without ever any rebellion of mine, those, both of them, have a lineage of oil that you can trace back to some of the greatest. For example, the one oil that has laid hands on me that I submit to comes from a man called Benson Idahuza, whose first miracle was at the age of 14, raising the dead. His first miracle, he walked out of the church, got saved, walked out of the church, looked for somebody to raise him from the dead. The man ministered to presidents. Kenneth Hagin submitted to him. Now, if you look at my oil, you'll see this one laying hands on that one, laying hands on that one, laying hands on that one. Not laying hands on thousands. It's a direct ministry, recognizable like that. When you submit to somebody, make sure that you know who that person is submitting to. What oil are they under? Are you guys with me? Make sure what oil are they under. So many people, we were just speaking on live stream, and some people say, this is my spiritual father, and that one, and they say, but we don't know who's their spiritual father, but they are my spiritual father. I said, that's a problem. That is a problem. because where is the oil coming from? Say with me, Naga, say touch. This is the dimension of where God's hand would come and touch you. When He touches you, it is His glory coming upon you. That is when you begin to get down and push down onto your knees. Daniel said, I was pushed down onto my knees and the palms of my hands. Are you guys with me? This is the touch. This is the first dimension. Go with me to Daniel chapter number, same chapter, verse 16, 10 verse 16. 10 verse 16. Listen to this. 10 verses. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men. That is another story of the sons of men, that one, which we will unravel in our Bible college, in our university in the future. Don't think you know what that is, what that means. Sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me. I opened, he says, the sons of men touched. Say with me, touch. Touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and I spoke and I said unto him, O my Lord, the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me and I have retained no strength. There's a realm of touching. Even when the lady with the issue of blood, that touching realm, the first dimension, is God touching you and you touching him. When the lady with the issue of blood said, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. The word touch there is hapto, which means to set a light, to set flame and a fire to it. Meaning that my touch, if I could touch him with a passion and a fire, I know I will be healed. When you touch God, let it be a touch of fire, where it's not half-hearted, but it's a desperation coming from you. Are you guys with me? The second dimension. Can we go quickly through this so I can minister to you? Go through Daniel chapter number 10, same 10, verse 11. Verse 11. Verse 11. I'm going a bit back and forth. Say with me, trembling. So the first dimension is touch. The second one is trembling. In the Hebrew, rod. R-A-A-D. Rad, rod. R-A-A-D. 10 verse 11 says, and he said unto me, O Daniel, O man, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Are you guys with me? He said, listen here, when the angel stood in front of me and spoke to me, I stood trembling and I began to shake. Job chapter number 4 says, a spirit passed before my face, Eliphaz, and the hair of my body stood, the hair of my neck stood up, goosebumps. The bones in my body began to shake and tremble. This is what we call the trembling dimension, the second dimension. When His glory comes in stronger upon you, you'll begin to tremble. Those that are standing like cement pillars, something is two things. God is not approving His glory to come on you. Because He has found something wrong with your heart. Am I saying everybody must fake fall? Never. I'm saying those who stand, it's like you can lay hands on this pulpit better than laying hands on them. The pulpit receives more. They will stand like this and they'll even be proud and pushed forward like this. And then those, any minister will tell you, when you lay hands in the line, those you just keep, you move on. Because they will, it's what we call anointing blockers. They limit the flow and cut the flow. And if you stay by them, then if you move on, you need to start all the way from the bottom again, building up a flow. Any prophet is fast, not slow. A prophet can preach slow. I talk slow because I like to teach to you when it is in this realm. But when it comes to the prophetic, very fast or moving. Very fast. The Holy Ghost is always fast. So listen to this. He says, I began to tremble. This is a realm, say with me, of trembling. This is when the Holy Ghost comes on you. Listen here, go with me to Psalm 104 verse 32. 104 verse 32, 32 trembling. 104 verse 32. Psalm 104 verse 32. He looks on the earth. God, now this, listen. I have stood in front of people. And then when I would look into their eyes, if I'm at that moment full of the Holy Ghost, whether they have a demon or not, there's a trembling that takes place in them. And then the more authority the person carries that looks into your eye, the more word they carry, as kratos, that's a whole nother dimension, the more it begins to shake. It is like you can scan the person in front of you. The Bible says the word of the God is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through spirit and soul, bone and marrow. Are you guys with me? Intents and thoughts of the heart, cutting through it, dissecting. When you're full of the word and power, when you look at someone, you will have the ability to scrutinize in the spirit without intimidation. Just be able to greet, and you can discern by the word what is going on in the spirit here. And it dissects and it exposes. And they will begin to tremble. Are you guys with me? I had many people in my office, or I'll be at their house, and then we'll go into that realm. I think we were here, and the one person ran out, screaming, running out. I was just like looking at them. And then people will change, and then they'll sit in front of you and say, I will kill you. We were doing deliverance on a worship leader. Where was it? In Durban or something like that. And that was not David Moss, luckily not. But deliverance. And this worship leader comes to me for counseling, for relationship. And they just touch the doorknob of my office. And I see them touching the doorknob, but I don't see them coming in. And it's like slithering on the floor, Ian. And then eventually when they got up, it's walking a circle like that, picking up a chair, turn the chair around, and like 5 meters from my desk and sitting like this. I'm like, I thought you came for counseling, for relationship revise. Be somebody that carries the presence. When a minister carries his presence, it tells me that God has approved of them. I have approved. God approved of Jesus Christ by signs, wonders, and miracles. A trembling. Listen to this. How does the trembling come? When God looks at you, He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the heels and they smoke. When the eye of the Lord is upon you, that's when a trembling takes place. When you were in this building last year and the physical building shook, under the power, it means that God's eye was on this building. I'm telling you. And we have the footage, and everybody looked, everybody's, I remember preaching that day, and the angels fell on the roof, and like huge monsters, if I could say it like that, in my falling, and I'm trying to think, what is on the roof? It can't be anything on there anyway. And everybody's just like silent. And I don't know what was going on. And then obviously it went around and you would see how the bars would shake and the roof and the wall would shake. When God's approval and His eye is upon something, there's signs that He sends. You see, usually the people that everybody rejects, somebody said to me, they cried, oh, you know, the whole, everybody disqualified me as a minister. No, I said, everybody disqualified me long ago. Every big name. And I ministered in all of their churches. And in all of the churches where I did minister, or at least majority, the glory of God would hit that place. The one meeting, I couldn't even like talk or walk. You would have 200 manifestations at once. But I am of the devil. We were in one meeting. That was the one meeting. And the senior pastor wasn't there. It was a huge church. I won't say where. Huge church. And about 2,000 or 3,000 or something like that, I think. And the associate pastor ran out of the building. Frantic, not knowing what to do. Phoning the senior pastor saying, it's chaotic. It's what? And there's just power everywhere. And they attack that. How much more antichrist can you get? Anti-power. I'm telling you, there's going to be a clash in this time, a season we're going into, with a church that believes in power and a church that doesn't believe in power. Because somebody was like attacking me, the stupid person. And I say stupid person, Paul calls them morons. Person on my WhatsApp. So I send them back scriptures of power. They say, all you're preaching now is the anointing. I don't hear Jesus. I said, I've led more people to the Lord than you would have, that you could ever have dreamed of leading. So then I said, power. I would put all the scriptures out. I said, this actually means that you are saying this, tells me you are an antichrist spirit. So he looks on the earth. Say, God looking. You must know he approved of ECC. When that happened, when angels, how many people have said that they would feel angels? I would look and we would say, there's angels there. And people would feel it touching them, walking past them. Even in our old building, ministers who had come and preached would tell me their jackets or their clothing are being pulled like this when they're standing at my chair. That is not their angel, that's my angel. I'm telling you. To say, go prophesy, go minister. Are you guys with me? Paul said, do not wear hats and all these, wear hats, all the, do not wear hats, all these things and covering. Do not worry or think deeper into that now. But he says something very peculiar. He says, for the angel's sake. Are you guys with me? Meaning, they were so aware of angels that even when Peter got out of prison, they didn't even open the door because they said, oh, it's just this angel. Which tells you exactly how your angel looks like. Number one. Now somebody went and go preach a message and they titled it, how to know what your angel looks like. They took it from me. So don't get into that nonsense. So listen here. The angelic is always the approval of God when it comes to the prophetic. Say with me, dimension of rod. That is trembling, a shaking. When His glory comes in, you will feel something in you shake. If it is not your whole body, then there would be a lot of flesh that is resisting it, or religion or tradition. But there will be a trembling in some way. Are you guys with me? I mean, go with me to Acts chapter number 9, verse 3. We'll close off now. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. And then we will prophesy to some, and then we'll do as the Holy Spirit lead. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. When the Bible says a light shone, it speaks of God looking. Are you guys with me? Next verse. The eyes of God was on him. Then he fell to the ground, Saul, and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Next verse. And he heard and he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. Next verse. So he, trembling and astonished, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? When his glory comes in, there will be a trembling in this third dimension. Second dimension. Are you guys with me? Sorry, second dimension. There will be a trembling. It's a touch first, then a trembling. Go with me to Luke chapter number 1, verse 2. When you tremble, when the glory of God is on you, whether we pray for you or whenever it happens in worship, even at home, I've been at times at home where I would pray for hours or spend hours with God. There would be a trembling and a weight on me. I cannot get up from the floor. Or I would be scared. There would be times I'd be on my bed and it would be like an electricity vault going through my body because of God's eye on me. Now, when you know it is not fake, is when you go from there and you walk into a service and you just walk in from the back and people are falling under the power as you're just walking past them. Or you touch an unbeliever by the hand and they're experiencing it. That is now when you cannot fake it. When revival took place, we had a revival in Namibia, literally a country, and I remember the glory of God fell like tangible. When I say it was like a waterfall you could see. And the residue of that, I remember I had to just walk out. It was too much. And I went to the hotel and I just went to the lady by the desk asking of my keys. And I said, can I have my keys to my room? And she looked at me and she started trembling. And she started weeping and saying, what is this I feel? I was asking for my keys of my hotel room. All I said to her is the glory of God. I came out of revival. She's like, what do you mean is that? I said, no, yesterday, come tomorrow night. Or you know, I was tired. I just wanted to get to my room. I was really tired. I didn't want to minister there. I am not an evangelist. So look, Luke 1 verse 2. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses. No. Luke 1 verse 20, guys. Luke 1 verse 20. Listen to this. But behold, you will be mute. Say with me, mute. Say with me, dumb. There's a realm of mute, of dumbness. It says, but behold, you'll be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. I have been under the glory of God. I remember the first time I heard his voice as if it was audible out of the heavens. I was mute for about 8 hours of that encounter. I could not, I was too scared to speak a word. In fact, that night when I was going from at Namibia, that was now another, when I was walking up from that reception, going up into my hotel room, my computer was on my bed like this. And I remember walking to my bed and I wanted to get into bed and watch a movie before I sleep. It's in revival, you always watch movies, believe it or not. Okay? I am serious. I am very serious. Because you want to because the glory is on you constantly. You don't pray for it to come on at that time when there's a revival. So, and I remember I was getting into bed, and as I wanted to touch my bed, this is 2 o'clock in the morning, a force hit me on the floor and I fell in the corner of my room. I was alone in the country and I wept and I saw God sitting on my bed. When I say God sitting, oh my God. I was fearful that if I would have gotten close, I would have died. Now you might think, oh, he's just talking. Okay, if you've been around us, you've seen some signs. signs is God showing who he is with. And I remember there, I was mute, I was dumb, I was too scared to even utter a word out of my mouth. I thought I would die that night. My body, I think from that day on, was such a mess. The next day they had to bring a heart machine, a thing to test my heart and stuff, because I couldn't, and it was from that moment on, that for about a few years, but it was an intensity that I was so sick. When you encounter God's glory, to that intensity, your body has effects. Any true prophet will tell you that. You get sick. Even Daniel said, all my strength left me when I saw an angel standing in front of me. You cannot comprehend until you've seen that. But behold, you'll be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled. Now you get a positive and a goodness when it comes to mute. But there's a dimension where I call it's called Alam, A-L-A-M. The third dimension, it's a dimension of the Holy Ghost, where the fear of God comes so on you, you'll be unable to speak. You'll be scared to speak. How many times have I had people standing here in front of me here, even in our old church? They would be scared. They can. Oh, we had some people, they go like this, and they can't talk. Because that's a devil. But anyway, it just happened now again. Hey, from like leadership, where's Chris? From like leadership from another church came. Leadership. I said, hello, how are you? Where are you from? I said, is it a secret? I don't know. They don't want to talk. Eventually they went back. I said to the person, is this your leadership? Dear Lord. And it happened, how many times in my office, they can't speak. It's a realm of authority of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that when they operated in great grace and great power, the apostles, that fear came upon the rest of the crowd. There's a realm when God begins to move, that fear will strike the hearts of people. Then you must know God is there. Are you guys with me? Say with me, the realm of mute, Alam. It's a dumbness that comes. I know, even with persecution, I try my best. Alan must still control himself. But one of the secrets is to be mute. Doesn't matter what people say. Just keep silent until the Holy Ghost tells you to talk right after it. Otherwise, you talk too much and you get into trouble. Are you guys with me? It is about being sensitive. It is, I remember when I just got saved, and my mother is saved now, and my family is coming to church and so on. But in the beginning, they were worried about me because I was just praying and fasting and they weren't saved. So they got out a professor from UNITAS to come and try to convince me miracles is not real. And the man is teaching students. So I remember sitting in front of him, and he was asking his question. So tell me, what about this? What happened here? Trying to now refute my experiences. I was a week old in the Lord. I was just sitting, and all the Holy Ghost said to me, be silent. And I would just sit. So I said, so what about this? And I just said, I did not answer one word. Not one word. Until they became mad and stormed out. They say time to speak and a time to not speak. When the dimension of the Holy Ghost is strong, it's a time to not open, shut up. Just receive. Are you guys with me? I mean that nicely, okay? Go with me to Daniel chapter number 10, verse 17. Fourth dimension, we're almost finished. Daniel chapter number 10, verse 17. This is what I call the dimension of breath. It's what in the Hebrew it's neshema. Neshema. So neshema. It's a very powerful dimension. Somebody calls it the boss dimension. But for Daniel chapter number 10, verse 17, for how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me, nor is any breath left in me. There's a dimension about the breath of God, about God's breath coming upon you, or it takes away your breath. That is why many times, even now, tonight, I did it on purpose of this teaching, but we do it all the time. I would just blow on people. Some of them would not see us standing in front of them, and I'll just go, and God, now some ministers can do it, and they just, nothing happens. It's because God is not in your breath. Are you guys with me? So, the Bible says that Jesus blew on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. He blew on them. But there's a place where God's breath comes upon you, or there's a place where He takes your breath away. Even when we pray for people in revival, whether it's laying hands on thousands or people here, there's a place where you cannot even breathe anymore. You literally have no more breath left in you. I would do meetings after meeting. I remember like 12 meetings after one another, morning, afternoon, evening, and thousands of people. And my wife, often at the end, would feel or see if I'm breathing while I was sleeping. Because I was a man alone starting a revival. Now they all, now it's like all big. Before that moment, they didn't even, there was one pastor sitting. Somebody asked me the week about him. If you were on my live stream, you would know. One pastor sitting here, 10,000 people in his church. And I didn't know it was him. I didn't know him really. So I'm preaching and healing is happening. The power of God is everywhere. And I remember a girl gets healed and people get healed. And the one person, this demon manifests and throw themselves onto this on this pastor. So the man is just sitting there, doesn't know what to do. He's got 10,000 people in his church. He's like, so eventually I'm like on him trying to get it off him. And trying to deal with it. And he was not happy. So, you know, him and his entourage, obviously afterwards, they got up and he wanted to invite me. So they asked me to come because they wanted to invite me to his church. And I forgot to, I don't know, it was just that those days, I didn't really care about it. We were just laying hands. Breath. It is, so as I was saying, so this demon falls on this pastor. This pastor can't do anything. 10,000 people on TV. Can't do anything. Scared. A demon must fall like that on me. The person will feel it if the demon isn't gonna leave it. Leave me. Okay? So, or leave the person. So, breath. It's the breath of God. You can only blow and breathe when you have touched or encountered that dimension or that realm. Are you guys with me? And then when you breathe upon them, they encounter God. Ruach, His breath, the Holy Ghost, His breath, air. Pneuma, spirit, His breath. Are you guys with me? When you breathe, that's when even many times you've been here, God would come and we'll raise our hands and I will just go, and it's like breath would fall upon the people. And the glory of God would come upon them. It's a technique, very simple technique, but it is a technique. Let's go to the last one. Go with me to Daniel chapter number 7, verse 15. Daniel chapter number 7, verse 15. This is, say with me, Kera. Say it again, say Kera. I know I'm just talking. I hope you're not bored. I'm dehydrated. I don't want to preach fire now, but we'll see what God does now. This stuff, I just like to talk in a certain frequency and a dimension. Because your spirit needs to be sensitive to receive this. It says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. The visions on my head troubled me. Wait, go. Yeah. Grieved in my spirit. So be grieved. This is a dimension of grieving. This is where you will pray and you'll begin to weep without even knowing it. Many times I'll lay hands or prophesy over somebody and I will feel like weeping intensely. It's splunkna, compassion, which your spirit is moved by what is happening in their life. Or even as a prophet, I become them and I experience what they're experiencing. And it's a moment of grieving, of weeping, where you literally feel, it's like the Bible says the Holy Ghost prays through us, making intercession, groanings in the spirit, which goes beyond the realm of just praying in other tongues. It is a realm of intercession where you groan from the inside. It is when the heart of God becomes your heart. It is when you feel what Jesus feels. It is when He begins to intercede through you. Are you guys, you sound to look dead. Are you okay? Okay. Are you okay? My. Daniel said, I was grieved in my spirit. There's a dimension. It is a fear and a grieving that comes on you, the fifth dimension. And he says, within my body, and the visions on my head troubled me. Are you guys with me? Go with me to verse 1. Listen to this. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and vision of his head. Visions of his head while on his bed. So with his bed. There you know now how to get visions. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. And I'll prove more for you. Eh? Next verse. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. But he was sitting, I was sitting on my bed. Go with me to where? This is the highest level of the dimension of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, we spoke about trembling. We spoke about fearing. We spoke about muteness. This is a grieving dimension, the highest dimension, where you are on the floor or you're having the heart of God in you. You're feeling what He feels towards someone. Go with me to Daniel chapter number 2, verse 28. Daniel chapter number 2, verse 28. Listen to this. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and He has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar, an evil king, what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head. Say with me, of your head. Upon your Even Nebuchadnezzar is sitting on his bed, having visions and dreams. And the visions of your head, that word visions is another word. We'll explain to you now. Go to the next word, next verse. As for you, O king, Daniel is saying, thoughts, say with me, thoughts, came to your mind while on your bed. Now, listen to this. The Bible is explaining Nebuchadnezzar was sitting on his bed, he's having visions. Daniel is saying, no, your thoughts are coming into your mind. While you are sitting on your bed, about what would come to pass after this. He's saying you are experiencing thoughts, which many of you know is Rayon. It's the realm of Rayon, where you can sit and think, and you can think about the future. Nebuchadnezzar was sitting on his bed, thinking, and those thoughts were coming into his mind, and he was being shown the year after by God. Are you guys with me? Sitting and rayoning your future, sitting and visioning, but even the thoughts, and Daniel is saying, listen here, this thing that you think is a vision, it's even as just a thought. What you think is a thought is a vision. You sitting here. Are you guys with me? One of the greatest realms of going to the realm of the spirit is what we call daydreaming. When you can sit and just think and gaze and dream, it's God showing you the year after. It is your ability to rayon. It is your ability to create your future. Imagining like God imagined when he was in Genesis 1 verse 2 and the Holy Ghost was moving upon the waters, brooding. And like the Bible says, constantly fluttering in constant imagination of a positive outcome. Like a mother hen upon her eggs, having and imagining a positive outcome. God imagined you. Then the Bible says the waters gave birth after its own kind. And everything came out of the waters. God, you were a thought of God, an imagination. And then he spoke and he said, light be. Where if you have an imagination and you can rayon, and then you speak what you see. Are you guys with me? And your words have the ability to create. Anyway, say with me, five dimensions. Are you guys with me? Say it again, say five dimensions. Let's go to Daniel chapter number 5 verse 12. And this is what is happening at ECC. 5 verse 12. Oh my goodness. We're training people for Krugersdorp. So, what does it say? Huh? Inasmuch, Daniel now, as an excellent spirit, so the excellence. Right here we operate in excellence. Knowledge, so the knowledge. Sagacity, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be, listen, go back for me, one verse, go back one, yeah, there. Put it in the King James. Let me just see, quickly, guys. Go to the next verse, I want to see something. Darono. No. Go one verse back. Yeah, see, you missed this one. One verse back. Listen to this. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences. Say with your heart sentences. And dissolving of doubts, enigmas were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. What you will find if you are at ECC, you will be able to interpret heart sayings, to explain enigmas, that even when you talk, others will not understand you out there. They will say, but you don't make sense. Or this or that. When we say it's just a matter of time, you understand exactly what it means. When they say verse you don't understand in scripture, we are interpreting heart sayings by the spirit of wisdom and revelation that opens the eyes of your spirit and your understanding, that allows you to see the hope of your calling and the inheritance that you have in the glory of God. Say with me, may my eyes be opened. The eyes of my spirits. Stand your feet.
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.